Hey Gems, welcome back to the show. Let's not waste any time and jump straight into the topic. Welcome back to the show. Today we actually have a milestone in Jacense Gems history. The first man to be a guest here on the show, and I'm so grateful that he's taking the time to honor me and support us with his gems. It's going to be a good conversation, real juicy, I'm sure. But let me let him introduce himself, my husband. Go ahead and let us know who you are, what you do, and all that fun stuff.
Thank you, Queen. I am Alpha Tauri. I am a parent, coach, artist. I do a lot of amazing things, primarily working with children, families, and in community development.
Baby, y'all hear that voice? That's my husband, y'all. Anyway, the kids are asleep, and we've got the monitor right here because Chisa may decide to wake up at any moment, but we're just going to dive into talking about a few different things that I think will be helpful for anyone listening who is either single and hoping to be in a relationship, dating and wants to enhance their relationship, and married and looking to enrich their experience together. So we're hoping to hit everybody on a couple of areas such as money and just really living a fulfilled, satisfied life in and of yourself and in your relationships. But my first question, right? I remember the other day you said that you remember back in the day, even though it was like a few years ago, that one time you were texting me and it was like later on at night and you were like, oh, what are you doing? You know, you were up working and you noticed I was up working too, right? And so right. What I was thinking about was, you know, as a woman, it's oftentimes hard to find someone who isn't intimidated by your hustle, right, and ambition. And so I think a lot of women feel like they either have to shrink themselves or that they can't find someone that's equally yoked because they don't want, you know, to make them feel some type of way based on how, you know, how hard they hustle or how big their dreams are.
Right.
For you, what do you think it is that made you different in that way, that you weren't kind of intimidated? And what do you think gets in the way for like maybe other men when they're dating women that keeps them from being able to, you know, I don't know, support a woman like that or feel intimidated because of how they show up?
Well, I'll start off by saying it made sense because I had a great deal on my plate at the time. And I was also at a transitional point of development, of my self-development or redevelopment. So you having things to do meant that it was okay for me to have things to do when I wasn't worried about whatever you wanted and what you needed. I was like, she's busy. She's doing her thing. So because I've had the experience in relationships where, you know, people want to hear from you consistently all the time. They want you to respond to their messages, their text messages, their calls. And I was really appreciative and grateful to have someone in you that already had their own life, already had their own challenges, already had their own goals that they were meeting. And I was like, this is cool, you know, this is cool. And it was, you know, more of a mirror for me. And it also, you know, gave me a nice boost to continue to do what I was doing and take my thing to the next level as well. I think generally most of us as men, you know, in relationships, it could be complicated. You know, we're dealing with a lot of mastering through moments of insecurity. We're dealing with a lot of just learning how to deal with past experiences. So I think a lot of us need or want validation from our women. We want them to call us all the time. We want them to answer when we call them. We want them to respond rapidly. But I wasn't with all that. And you were just perfect because you didn't have time for that. And that also gave me extra security because I was like, she's doing what she needs to do. And that's somebody I want to build with.
Okay. I mean, and it's not necessarily like a bad thing to want to hear from the person that you care about or whatever. But I think, like you mentioned, there's lines where, is it that I want to hear from you because of an insecurity, or is it that I want to hear from you because I care about you, but I understand that you're working. And so I think that, right. You know, how you mentioned, you know, that when you have stuff going on and you're building towards something, oftentimes, you know, it may present a season where you're really focused in a certain way. And so making sure that you are able to be surrounded by friends, family, partners, different things like that, that understand that, I think can be really helpful. And then, you know, the seasons evolve and change, right? So we know we're in a certain season right now, and we also know that there's going to be a time where the season looks different, and then we'll re-navigate things at that point. And so I love that. Okay. So then y'all going to have to, you know, subscribe to Watching the Wamalas to hear about how we met. Okay.
Yeah,
we're not going to dive into all that today, but if you want to hear more about just, you know, our family, how we're running things around here, and hear our story, then you want to make sure to click that link in the show notes so that you can stay connected with us. But now, man, there's so many layers.
Yeah. Very entertaining too. Very, very inspirational, but all so entertaining.
Lots of conflict. There's conflict today. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the grocery store, y'all. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, being a parent is so fun. Now, before we dive into this, because when we were dating and getting together, whatever the case may be, you know, I was in a very specific season where I was trying to get out of debt, and I was really focused financially because I wanted to, you know, position myself well and live my best life. You know, yeah. I like to live my best life. Now, I know that, right? Like, we had talked about being together, and I had told you I was very straightforward with, like, what I was doing when it came to my money journey.
Yeah, you were, for sure.
In past relationships, what did those money conversations look like, if at all?
That's interesting, you know, because I did my best to not reveal, honestly, what my money and or financial situations were. Mostly because I didn't trust people. And then other reasons is because I was projecting, you know, something that might not have been completely true, for whatever reasons, to ward people off or to even attract certain people. And so it was really all over the place. It wasn't the best. It didn't have the best quality. It didn't have the highest energy. And I have to give credit to you because when we approached each other, and when you actually initiated your approach with this formula, with a financial upgrade, I had to just face myself, and I had to be completely honest with myself first before I can reveal the truth to you.
Yeah. You know, I think it's not the easiest thing to put your cards out on the table with another person, but it's only difficult because it's hard to do it with ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. But people be tripping, you know, like you know, sometimes people with you, they trying to get at your bag, you know.
True.
Sometimes that's what it is. And then sometimes, you know, you might have an interest in somebody and they might be really cool and they might be awesome, but they don't want to deal with you unless you have a certain bag. So that puts, you know, men and women in really interesting situations to really have to just be completely transparent and honest with themselves so they can be honest with whoever's coming to the table, or just not have to say anything. Like, I'm not talking to you about it. You're not worth it.
Well, I think it's also being able to accept how the cards may fall. Like, if this person doesn't want to deal with me because of this, like, how can I accept that? Part of me really feels like everything's a reflection, right? So if we have certain people in our lives that are acting and responding in a certain way, maybe in particular to money or anything else, like it could be physical attraction, it could be certain like attributes or whatever, that it's a reflection for us too, you know? And so I think that that's maybe why in certain seasons we attract and are attracted to certain people in certain positions in their life or certain places in their journey. And when you and I started to get to know each other and then started to date and started to talk more seriously about things, that we were a reflection for each other. So I don't think it was me that like changed your money journey. I just think that we were both in a place that we were focusing on certain things and that we became mirrors for each other in that space that helped us to be able to develop in these different areas. Cause it wasn't just money, you know?
Yeah. I'm not saying you changed it. What I'm saying is you sparked the initiation for me to break whatever I needed to break through to put myself, further myself through that journey.
Now, I will say you did use the financial freedom formula, which happens to be, you know, in my book,
No doubt.
And pay off a lot of debt, right? That was something that, you know, I guess. And it's tough because I think you said you don't like ultimatums. And I don't think I was giving you an ultimatum. That wasn't my intention, was to give you an ultimatum when I was like, I would like for, you know, you to be debt free before we get married. I think it was just kind of like me sharing purely like really what I wanted.
Yeah.
And you taking me seriously and understanding like that that's what I wanted and acting on it.
Well, I'm thinking not just about you or us. It was about the future. It was about our offspring. I mean, now we have two children, but I was also thinking about my child. Like, this is not okay. This is not okay. I mean, there's a lot of people with debt and there's a lot of people that know how to leverage it and all that. But mine wasn't necessarily the most responsible. I was really just telling myself, I don't care. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. I'm gonna be all right. I ain't gonna have to worry about money. Money always comes. And I wasn't concerned, but yes, this is something I did. I needed to take care of it. It was my responsibility, and I want our offspring to be able to meet and take care of their responsibility. So, But I also wanted to marry you, so I had to come correct for sure.
It wasn't that you wouldn't have come correct. But I appreciate it. That was your dowry, bruh.
I probably wasn't going to deal with that debt if it wasn't for you. I'm not going to lie. I mean, Eventually
we would have had to talk, like we would have had to figure that, you know what I mean? Like we're going to have to talk about it at some point or figure it out, you know? Right.
I mean, I'm going to assume that at some point I would have come to my senses, mm-hmm, and redirected myself financially. But at that moment, if everything that happened didn't happen, I would not have taken that initiative. I'm keeping it real with you.
No, I hear you. And I guess part of me is thinking like, do we then not expand to like whatever our greatest potential is at that time? Because we're not, you know what I mean? So I think when I said, you know, I'd like for you to pay off your debt by the time we get married, that opened things up and that made you expand.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it made you focus, right, and it made you expand. So would you not have expanded in that way at that time if it weren't for that spark? And then how do we continue to expand moving forward, you know, because of the different goals that we've set and the way that we want to continue to develop individually aside from money, you know? Yeah. I think for me, that's what happened too. When I told myself I wanted to get out of debt, I started to expand as a human and start to more fully reach my highest potential on a daily basis because I had a focus that was different than usual. And really, when we're talking about money, we're not just talking about money. We're talking about so many other things.
Of course.
Yeah. Which I think most people don't focus enough on. But you mentioned children, right? We've got two now, 10 years old and 5 going on 6 months old. What did you learn about money growing up? What did you hear? What did you see?
I learned a great deal of nothing.
No.
I learned a great deal. All I learned was work, stack, you know. I was told not to go into debt, you know, but I wasn't taught how not to go into debt.
Told, not taught.
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't shown anything in regards to interest. I wasn't, you know, just work, make sure you do what you need to do, make sure you can take care of yourself. And that's it, you know. And I think a lot of us are shown and taught the same thing. Just keep going. And that's how most people stay on that wheel. And they just become, you know, more or less enslaved.
Yeah. The more I talk to folks, the more I hear that we kind of generally know what we're supposed to do with money, but we aren't given the details and taught, right, what and how to do things. Save money. Well, how much do I save? Like, where do I save it? You know, like, when do I use the savings? Or, you know, so I think it's like we get the general overview of things, but we don't get the details, which leaves a lot of room for error.
And then it's like, you know, how well are you doing? I remember when I was 20, right before I left to travel Africa, I was about 21, 22. And, you know, living in New York City, doing very well, probably like 120, 150 grand that year. I was given a fairly brand new vehicle, so BMW 525i. It was beautiful. And I did something to the brakes. I took it in to the dealership, and maintenance was already paid for. I just had to take it in. And you know what they did? They gave me the loaner. And they gave me an X5 4.4, and I drove it while they were taking care of my brakes, and I kept it an extra day, and I bought it back, and he offered me a great deal for it. I said, nah, I don't want to buy another car. I already own a car. He's like, well, you could just lease it, and then you could have two. You could have your SUV, and you could have your sedan. I was like, why not? Why not? I got a car already paid for. I'm not paying for the other car. It's already paid for. I'm just paying for insurance. So why not pay another, you know, $600, $700 a month to drive this brand new leased SUV? And again, I wasn't, you know, part of me knew that that wasn't the best choice, but the other part of me made myself believe it was. I'm like, I don't have a car note, so why not? I'm making enough money to pay for it, so why not? And, you know, those are the kind of lessons and things I would like to pass down to our children, because that happens a lot. Yeah. That happens a lot.
You know what? I think that what you mentioned is, it makes me think about how well we can talk ourselves into things and how easy it is for us to talk ourselves out of things, right? So it's like going to the gym, we can easily talk ourselves out of that because we say, oh, well, I have to work, or I have to do this, and I have to do blah, 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 right? We come up with all these lists of reasons. We can also talk ourselves into things by justifying or coming up with whatever kind of true things that help us to say, well, I can afford this, quote unquote, you know what I mean? I'm making enough money, right? It's not an imposition. I don't have a car note right now anyway, so it's fine, right? And I think that kind of is a great segue, because we don't have the proper resources to understand how to calculate, you know, opportunity cost and what it looks like to maybe learn how to leverage, you know, different opportunities. And let's dive into what you want to teach our children. What do you want to make sure that they know about money, you know, growing up?
First, it's energy. And it is abundant. And to not deal with scarcity. Again, I was taught or shown to just work. Just make sure you have it. Just make sure you get it and, you know, save a little bit here, but just keep working. And I think, and I know what I would like for our children is to, I mean, first of all, they're set with us regardless, right? But for them to live their lives and do whatever it is that they want to do that makes them happy, that shows them that they're in alignment with their purpose, and to know that whatever they need, whatever finance, whatever money, it'll fall in their lap as long as they're doing the right thing, as long as they're focused on what it is they're supposed to be doing. The little girl that we have, she wants to dance and be on stage, so she's going to have to focus and do whatever she needs to do to dance and be on stage for a living, you know. And I think the most important thing, again, I don't want them to ever stress money. I don't ever want them to stress finances. I don't ever want them to stress, you know, I gotta be a millionaire, I gotta be a billionaire. I just want them to be happy and to understand money is energy. So if you're doing everything you're supposed to do, if you're focused, if you're in alignment with who you are, with your purpose, then the money will always come.
That's, I think, you know, where we fall into alignment as far as just really wanting to make sure that they understand that their identity is separate from, you know, anything that they do. And yeah. money, while it's a great resource, is not necessarily the focus and doesn't have to be the focus. Now, to some extent, maybe that's a privileged thing to be able to say, you know what I mean? Because maybe someone who doesn't have money doesn't feel that way. But when we look at, you know, satisfaction and contentment around the world, the people who have the least amount of money are the happiest people on the planet, you know?
Yes.
And the people with the most money are the ones who are, you know, dealing with the most stresses of the world. And so, you know, I think that, like you mentioned, it's really important to me, at least, for our kids to understand that they have a choice. And I think even for myself, right, we were talking about it the other day, we choose to be here in America playing this game.
Right.
We could up and move to Uganda. There's already a place set for us and we can, you know, reorganize our entire lives. So that if I'm, there's no need for me to stress because I've made the choice to be here in this simulation of the game.
Right.
We can choose a different version or a different simulation of this life, and it can be, you know, whatever we want it to be. So I think a lot of maybe where stress around money comes in is thinking like you don't have a choice. Right. And while again, that's easier said than done, I'm going to say that. Okay. That's my disclaimer. Yeah. Some people don't maybe want to up and move to Mexico or whatever. Someone I follow on Instagram, her family done up and moved to Mexico. I'm like, dang, they look like they're really enjoying themselves. You know what I mean? So right. It's like, but when I personally recognize that I have a choice or that I'm making a choice, I feel empowered, and then I can operate from an empowered place as opposed to operating from a place of desperation. And right. I think that's where a lot of people are trying to manifest money, is from desperation. But if you have desperate energy, you're going to, it's going to be a boomerang. That energy, that desperate energy is going to come back to you in the forms of, you know, desperate situations or more scarcity, essentially, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've been married now specifically for 2 years, with our anniversary just having passed a few weeks back. And they say the first 2 years is like the hardest, but I mean, has it been like sunshine and rain? There was a pandemic, right? Like, but
yeah.
We were in the house together for some time, but I feel like we had a good time. Like,
right.
I feel like we had a good time. Like, what do you think has helped us to have a relationship that's not perfect, but that's been constantly evolving and growing, if I can say that? You may not, I don't know. You go ahead and give your 2 cents, but I feel like our relationship's right. getting better.
It's because we both have the same intention to be in constant perfecting. You know, we're constantly moving forward. We're constantly sharpening each other's edges. We're constantly reminding each other about our diets, about, you know, how we breathe.
Why you gotta bring up my diet?
Because that's, you know, that's important to me.
See, and if I choose to be triggered, then that's on me, right? That's work, yeah, I gotta do. I'm just joking.
But it's on me too, you know, and I think that's what's been a very beautiful ongoing lesson for both of us to continue to evolve, because it's nothing better than reflection. It's nothing better than clear, constant reflection, when I can see myself in you, when I can, you can see yourself in me, and, mm-hmm. and we don't have an issue showing that to each other, you know. That's been beautiful. And the pandemic was awesome because it was a testament, you know. I know a lot of people didn't make it, you know, being stuck in the house with their partners, their spouses for however long that was. But we had a lot of fun, you know, and we had some moments where we had to, you know, stare each other down, and you know, I don't think we've ever raised our voices or anything like that, but we never ran from it. And I think that's what's the most beautiful thing, that we continue to run towards each other as opposed to away. Every now and then I like my space, though, I ain't gonna lie.
Whatever. You know, I like my space too.
See,
but
perfect.
It's
yeah.
Doing that with children, that's a whole nother story.
Well,
but
you know, it works out. They like their space too, so it's just dope.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, I think when you said running toward each other instead of running, you know, away.
Yeah.
Again, everything to me always feels like reflection. And when you said that, I'm like, how many of us are running away from ourselves? And because we're running away from ourselves, you can't sit in a space of authenticity and vulnerability with another person if you can't do it with yourself.
That's right.
It's just impossible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I feel like the more that we're running toward ourselves, the easier it is to run toward each other and to be able to support each other, you know, when it's hard to run toward ourselves, right? Because sometimes we're holding the mirror up for each other, and that's us helping each other to run towards ourselves, even if it is challenging, or maybe we need to pause and come back to the conversation another day or another time. And I feel like that's, you know, some of the logistical kind of things that we do to help manage our relationship. And so I think that, like you mentioned, right, we never raise our voices with each other. I think there's some agreements that we've kind of made explicitly and implicitly that just help for our relationship to stay very healthy, even when we're being stretched and growing.
Absolutely. And I think because we both came to each other without baggage. Not to say that we both don't have our experiences from the past that we're continuing to master, right? Because it's ongoing as long as you're alive. But we didn't bring baggage for each other to work through. I didn't bring some stuff and like, hey, I got this issue, I need you to help me with this. Or you ain't say, hey, I love you, but I got some things, I need you to help me. We came saying, I'm mastering my experiences, it's ongoing. And by doing so, the reflection allowed us to just unravel ourselves to ourselves and to each other as we continue to evolve.
I just went into a whole zone for a second there. So I think I heard everything you said. I'll have to go back and listen to it again. But it's just really, but I heard it. I heard everything you
said. If you come with baggage, that's almost like bringing debt into a relationship. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
And again, I'm not saying we both came to each other without having had
previous life experiences and all that. Right.
Because we're human. We're on this planet. Course. We're living this life. So everyone that's living is learning something. They're here to master some experience or experiences. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're alive, you got some work to do. Mm. So, you know, we realize that. But what I'm saying is we didn't bring it to each other. We didn't lay it on each other. You know,
or use it to affect how we interacted with each other. Yeah. Right. No, I think when you said it the first time around, it was just so significant that I literally went off into a zone because I'm just having this visual of thinking, like, did I leave the bags outside? Right. If it's a house that we're in, did I leave the bags outside? And I feel like that's what it was. Like, in dating you, what made me feel safe was that if you invited me over, I came over, not physically, y'all. I'm talking about metaphorically, follow me here. And I was able to enter into the restaurant or the house of that time we were spending together, and the bags got left on the outside. So we were able to have conversations in a context without that stuff weighing in or getting in the way of us being able to connect. So yes, the stuff was still there, because I know I have a whole bunch of stuff that I was dealing with prior to us being together, and you've had your own stuff too.
Right.
But in the presence of each other, those things were there, but they weren't running the show. And I think that a lot of the times people's baggage is running the show and dictating how someone gets to know someone, how someone interacts with someone, how someone deals with pressure, how someone deals with when someone doesn't text you back or whatever, as opposed to the stuff is there, but it's outside, or you put it up, or I say, hey, I have this bag, can I bring this bag in? And are you okay with talking about this bag with me? Or can you help me unpack this bag? You know what I mean? Like, so that's where my head was going when you were talking. 'Cause I'm like, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. You know, we still have the stuff, but how we have the stuff changes.
How we have the stuff changes.
Okay.
Yep.
Now you have got your own, you know, empire that you're building. We're building together, but we're also building individually, which is really fun.
Yeah.
we've got two kids. You've been doing work with parents and community development and education and just workshops for like decades now. What makes you really passionate about that work?
It needs to be done. Mm. It needs to be done.
Why?
It's so much imbalance, you know, and I'm not saying I'm the Superman and I'm supposed to fix everything, but I just living a life where I've, you know, seen the same amount of nothing and everything all at once. You know, I grew up interestingly moving all over the place. I wasn't necessarily raised by my mother. I didn't connect with my father until I was a little older, a teenager, but I was still, you know, lucky enough to travel the world as a child, you know, all over as a performer. And then as a young adult, travel as what I call a missionary, not religiously, but I put myself in a mission, on a mission to help people, to develop myself, and then take that those lessons of development that I learned and pass them on to other people that might need it as well. But I think there's a necessity for us to give whatever we can, however we can, to help anything and anyone live a better life, because all that does is makes the world a better place for us, for our offspring. And I don't know, it's hard to speak on it. It's very emotional to see, you know, wealthy people, rich folks that I've hung out with and that I've known throughout my life. And we get to hang out, you know, we get to do some things. And then I would bring up the stuff I do in South Africa. I would bring up the foundations that I have. I'm like, hey, can you, you know, get a couple thousand dollars for some clothes for some kids? And they were like, yeah, I'll get to you. Never get back to me. I just saw you drop $5,000 in this club. I see you driving different cars every other week, but a little $2,000 to give to somebody that will help their entire life, that would change their entire life, is just passed by. And it's not about the money. You know, it's more about, again, energy, effort, intention. And it just didn't make sense for me to live a life and to see people struggling, to see people hurting, to see, you know, so many things happening and not do anything about it. Hmm. And, you know, I don't think enough of us do things, but it's okay. I think, again, as long as we can do whatever we can and give what we can make this whole place better to live in.
Okay. So then for you, and your, I guess, focus, right, is getting more and more honed, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Everyone needs help always,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it seems like you really enjoy working with, like, families in particular, or educating people who are working with families, right, if there's two places specifically.
Because, you know, I grew up, again, our family was chopped up. I have wonderful, beautiful family, mother and father side. But as a child, I didn't have that immediate family, that concrete immediate family, like many people probably don't have. Mm. So I have a set of skills. I have some experience. I've learned a great deal throughout my life working with children and families throughout the world. And it is a mission and it is a pleasure for me to give what I know to help others have what I didn't have, to help others develop or redevelop what I didn't get a chance to have developed for me as a child. I grew up, I saw a lot of stuff that, you know, I wish children didn't have to see. Mm-hmm. I know I can't change that for everybody. I can change that for my family, and I can do my best to change that for whoever I come in contact with, whoever I work with, any families and parents that I have as clientele. But again, to be able to spread that energy, to spread that intention, to spread that love, it's just an honor for me. And that's all I really want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just make help families see that they can develop, you know, and it's never too late. to grow. It's never too late to evolve. It's never too late to connect. It's never too late to just, you know, create that family unit that we want, because most of us want it. We just don't know how to get it because we're raised differently, you know?
Yeah. You said you love helping families to see that they can develop. That was a deep sentence, because for some reason I started thinking about pictures. We don't do dark rooms anymore, right? But like pictures go from being like blank when they're shot, and they have to go through this process of being dipped in different chemicals, and and they have to be hung, and they have to dry, and they have to develop in the darkness in order to come out the other side and be whatever the picture is that was taken. And so when you said that, that's what came to mind for me, and it makes, you know, so much sense, right? Grow with Humanhood 101 is that you have to be willing to develop, and you have to go through the process of these different places where you're being dipped, and maybe it's in the dark.
Oh yeah.
That you're being developed in order to come out the other side, despite the baggage and the things that you've gone through, to be this growing parent that is able to constantly redevelop as your child is growing, because your kids are always changing. You have to always change too. And so where can everyone find you and stay connected and learn more, you know, if they feel like some of the things that you said resonate?
Absolutely. You can contact my DM, or my Instagram is at humanhood101. Humanhood, HUMANHOOD101. And you get on that email list. I, at the moment, am still giving free weekly powerful parenting tips. They're not going to be free forever. So whoever signs up and you get on that mailing list, you will be grandfathered in, because at a certain point, people will have to pay to get those gems sent to them. And go to the YouTube as well. YouTube is the same thing. Humanhood 101. We got the Parental Confessions YouTube podcast. Some awesome, awesome guests. And the future of that podcast is going to be so dope. The people that I've been interviewing in the past month, y'all going to love it. So, yeah, just get in touch with me if you have any family development challenges. I got you covered. If you have any parent development challenges, I got you covered. And it's not about me giving you any answers, any quick fix answers. It's about me showing you how to help yourself.
I love that. You can teach a man. No, wait, you can give a fish. Let me stop, y'all. What? Anyway, just connect to the dagon. Follow.
Fool me once. Say, well, you. Fool me twice.
You can give a man a fish, but you could teach him how to fish too. Whatever.
What?
Anyway, follow at Humanhood101. The links are in the bio. Stay connected. If you are a parent, you need to be connected to Humanhood 101. I'll say that again. If you are a parent, or hope to be a parent, or have been parented, shoot, at that point, you want to be connected to Humanhood 101. Right. I'm on the email list, y'all. I'll be getting my gems in. I'll be like, oh, I need to breathe this week, and my powerful parenting tips.
I'll give them one if you want. You want one?
One, yes, I'll one rapid one. Fire.
Like, this is an easy one, y'all. The best way to be able to parent your children is to first learn to parent yourself.
Jesus, Louisa.
So don't expect for your children to do things that you ain't doing.
Mm. Yeah, we just had to take a moment of silence for all the things that we haven't been doing that we expect for our children to do. And I know I'm always like, dang it. Like, if I'm not doing it, then I know my kids aren't. And so I have to take it on myself to expand into a different version of myself so that my kids can see me developing and understand that they can also constantly develop. So I appreciate you for all the lessons that you've taught me, and to be, you know, parenting with you is a pleasure and a privilege. Y'all, I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. If so, please let us know. Take a screenshot, share it on your stories, tag us both at Jacinth Gems and at Humanhood101 so that we know that maybe we should do this again. Maybe we should talk about some other things if you like. All the fun stuff are linked in the show notes. Again, I truly appreciate you. Thank you, husband, for being here and
thank you for having me
and sharing your gems. And we will talk to you next time. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the podcast, you have a few options. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it, and you'll be notified as new episodes are uploaded. You can also leave a review or send me your feedback. Doing so helps me to create content that's relevant to what you want to hear about. And last, you can share the podcast with a friend. Whether it's directly or sharing it on your social media, it helps them to know that you think that this is information that they need to hear about. Thank you.